We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Democrats are so busy trying to do impeachment. Their candidates are people putting words like malarkey on the side of a bus. Think about that, Laura. I mean, can you ever imagine that you would see the word malarkey painted on the side of a bus, that it wasn't graffiti? I mean, it's
all right.
It's epic.
By golly.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Hey, happy Tuesday morning.
Good morning.
It's a gift every day from Joe Biden. Mike, how could be there on... Did you ever think you'd see malarkey written on the side of the bus that wasn't graffiti?
Graffiti from...
From the 1930s.
I'm like, no one's using that as current graffiti.
No, nobody uses the word malarkey. Nobody uses the word malarkey. That's good stuff. I don't think we had a Biden gaffe yesterday, did we? I was waiting. They must have kept him out of the public eye yesterday.
He's been working the circuit a lot. He probably needed a day of rest.
Needed a break.
He did have one of his people out talking, though. We're going to get to that here coming up in a minute. Good morning, everyone. We had a good time. I know Denise couldn't make it to last night, but the company here had its Christmas get-together, which it seemed really weird to me because it's like barely December.
It's a little early.
Didn't it seem early?
Yeah.
It did seem early, but then you start thinking about
it. It gets so busy, though.
Yeah. I don't think I have another day that I can do it, like, at all.
One of my favorite bands was there last night. Fitz and the Tantrums.
You're one of your favorites, huh?
Yeah, I didn't even realize I knew a song they played until the last song. Until the last song they played, then I recognized one. But it was cool.
They were great.
That's fun.
They did a great job. I don't know how did we land that at a private show. It was awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah, I'm sorry that I missed it.
Helps to know people. Helps to be associated with like music stations instead of talk stations. And then you can get bands to come and play at your Christmas party.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was pretty nice. Nice event, wasn't it?
It was really cool.
360?
Over at 360.
Yeah, at the ballpark.
Oh, that's a beautiful place, too. Yeah,
it was beautiful. They had it decorated real great for Christmas, the lights and everything. Yeah, it was gorgeous.
You know who we didn't see there last night, don't you?
I do.
Who was that?
Sue
Thomas.
Oh.
Sue Thomas was
Sue
working hard doing
missed.
Traffic last night. We were kind of hoping. I didn't see anybody from the Glover Show show up over there.
I didn't.
Too
either.
Tired working? Is that it, Sue? Whoops, sorry.
Well, I don't know. They sent out a memo that said you had to check in by 6. And I was like, well, my last traffic's at 6:05, so that's not going to happen.
I wonder if that confused people, because that was not true. You could show up whenever. But I think a lot of people felt that way.
Well, like, since Roger got said it in writing, that's what I thought.
Where did I go wrong?
In hindsight, that was confusing.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. They actually had some listeners. Apparently, one of the stations gave away tickets to this thing.
Yep.
And they had some listeners showing up, and I guess it was more formal to get in because of that. But, you know.
I gotcha.
I'm sure we could have got Snuck Sue Thomas in.
Well, Roger Brand walked in, and I said, do you have your wristband? And he's like, no, there was nowhere to check in. So I think they were just letting, it was a free-for-all after.
Well, if they let Roger in.
I know, letting anybody in that joint.
Gotcha. Sue had a good long conversation with my friend Paul Cook last night, who I never get to see anymore because he works at 2 in the afternoon, and I'm in here so early every day.
We love Paul
Cook.
He's doing pretty well.
Yeah. Good. Can't believe how old his kids are getting. Sue and I worked with him when he's bringing the little one home from the hospital, and she's 12 now or 13, and the older one's 16 driving already. I'm like, wow.
Time flies.
It's just amazing to me to look at that. That really
I'm glad you guys had fun. It looked like fun on social media.
Yeah, we did. It was a nice turnout. Just, you know, to kind of kick off the season because it doesn't seem like Christmas to me yet, other than the fact that we have a tree in here. It just doesn't seem like the holiday
studio.
Season
it makes
yet.
Me happy.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm with you. It kind of warms it up in here since it's cold most of the time. That's a good thing.
It's an illusion.
It's an illusion. Hey, let me tell you what we got coming up for you today here. I got Speaker Tim Jones, as usual, on our Tuesday morning about 6:37. Todd Pyro, the pyromaniac, the ongoing saga of the T-shirt continues. We've been trying to send the guy a T-shirt to New York, and we have an answer to what happened to his T-shirt. So we're going to get to that with him this morning about 7:10. Mark Walters is going to join us on 2A Tuesday. Big arguments yesterday in the Supreme Court over this gun law in New York that was super restrictive and whether or not these cities are going to be able to get away with this. It's time for the Supreme Court to put its foot down. So we're going to have some details on what the arguments were and how it sounded like the justices were feeling about this yesterday. And Graham Renz is going to join us about 8:10. Now, he's with Show Me. Here's why this is important. Everybody's excited about the soccer stadium. Mm-hmm. But we found out yesterday that the city is requesting the equivalent of about $30 million in tax credits. Two different requests for $15 million at a mm-hmm. time, plus another $25 million in tax abatements on top of that. One thing we talk about is, are the taxpayers getting their money's worth when they give up that much revenue for something like this? I mean, the Jones Dome didn't actually work out. So that's just one example of it. We're going to get Graham Renz in here. We'll break down the numbers and see if this is the same situation as some of the others that we've seen in the past about this. So we're going to get to...
We can do better than that. Come on. Fire it up. Fire it up. Fire it up. Fire it up.
Please clap.
Ooh, that was some fired up.
That was a Joe Biden staffer in Iowa yesterday. And honest to God, Tricia, how many people were in that room?
Six.
Get you. I mean, he was trying to fire up a crowd with a chant, and there were about six people in the room.
Well, he wasn't fired up.
Mm-mm.
I mean, if you really want to get people excited, you kind of have to be. You don't just go, fired up.
Fired up. Yay.
Fired up.
Yay.
That's about what it sounded like.
Please clap.
Yeah.
Oh, it was my, that's funny.
It was a Jeb Bush moment, and I realized that Biden wasn't there. But what they need to judge in this Democratic primary is the lack of enthusiasm factor, right? I mean, because there's a scale there where some get zero crowds, others draw a few people, but there's no real enthusiasm except for the nut jobs like... You know, Warren may draw a big crowd. Did you hear what she said yesterday? If she gets elected, the first time she's going to be elected by the electoral system. But the second time she gets elected, she wants it to be a direct vote. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
That makes campaigning easier for her.
No, listen to Cut 13 here.
As a presidential candidate, what are your thoughts on the Electoral College?
I want to get rid of it. So here's my goal. My goal is to get elected and then to be the last American president elected by the Electoral College.
It must really suck to be that dumb.
I mean, seriously, this is a college professor, clearly not a history professor, trying to dumb down America. That is possibly the last barrier standing between the United States of America and Venezuela. Honestly. We have a representative republic in this country. That's what we have. We don't have a democracy. We have a republic where we elect congresspeople to go to Washington, and then we hold a presidential election that is designed to represent a cross-section of America intentionally to make sure that people in Wyoming and Missouri have the same say in who becomes president as the population centers of New York and Chicago and California, LA and San Francisco. Because the just like in Illinois, just our friends in Illinois over here, your politics are dominated by what goes on in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Now, if you had an electoral college in Illinois, you wouldn't be in the shape that you're in. Because your common sense policies and politics of the people that live downstate in the red counties would offset the drunken sailors who spend every dime in Chicago. So Elizabeth Warren comes out on the campaign trail yesterday and actually says that. She supports an end to the Electoral College. Why? Because it would guarantee that the people willing to give away the most would get reelected every time, because there are more takers than there are producers voting for president these days. That's the problem in this country. When Ben Franklin said, we've given you a republic if you can keep it, that's exactly this is the person that he envisioned in his brain 240 years ago, was an Elizabeth Warren, a populist, who was going to promise you a chicken in every pot if you'd vote for them with somebody else's money. God, that's just maddening to me. Mm-hmm. We have not learned the history, our lessons from our history. We just haven't. Our founders would be turning over in their grave to hear this.
Maybe we need them to come back so they can tell us exactly why they have the Electoral College again.
Oh, we know.
Yes, but some people don't.
I know.
I need to read a book.
Some of us like read a book,
it's
folks.
Convenient,
that's, yeah, thank you.
Know, for them to not want the Electoral College, but
and look at yesterday. I had a story here I never got to, but Andrew Yang, mm-hmm. who's drawing seriously, what 1% how many people are in the race still? 16, 17, 18? I don't know. I can't keep track. He's drawn 1 or 2%, but he's got a very motivated 1 or 2%.
Passionate.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
He raised something a huge amount of money in one day the other day, making a last ditch effort to get money for his campaign. It was like almost $1 million in a day. And Trump holds one of these rallies and raises $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these Democrats are but Yang is a good example of the Warren type supporter. Those people will gravitate to somebody like Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, who's offering them free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work like that.
Yeah, and Yang's handing out $12,000 to everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk
about passionate too.
It's not going to devalue the dollar at all. It's going to be fine.
We're going to talk about a story a little later here, probably about a quarter till. There's a lot of talk about reparations in this country. There are mainstream candidates like Kamala Harris who have endorsed the idea mm-hmm. of reparations. Now, how in the world in our mixed pot of people you would ever figure out whose relative was affected by slavery and therefore, you know, was supposed to get X amount of dollars in reparations? I have no idea. I have no idea that they even have a formula for that. All they care about is that they may get an extra vote or two if they promise it. A town in Illinois has now gone full reparation. They have. They announced yesterday that in Evanston, Illinois, they're going to take every tax dollar they gain from the sale of marijuana, and they're going to put it in a pot. They're not going to smoke it. They're going to put it in a pot and give it away if you are African-American. They're going to take all of the tax revenue, and they're going to get some justice in Evanston, Illinois. It's the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard in your life. I'm going to let you hear from the representative up there who cooked up this cockamamie scheme. That's about as bad a word as malarkey, isn't it? Cockamamie.
Yes.
And how they think it's going to work. When we'll get to that a little later this hour.
Well, we now know that this coming week, Jerry Nadler is going to start, you know, phase two of the circus. Now,
Jerry Nadler has been in the witness protection program now for several months after he botched the Mueller probe.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Good morning, motivator. You know, why can't we just fire the congressmen like they fire these football coaches? You know, you're not winning. You're out. Bye.
Yeah,
but damn,
thank you.
We got to wait every 2 years while they saturate us with nonsense. They saturate us with shit.
Oh, nice. Well done. Well done.
Do not. Yeah, yeah. Don't bleep that out. That was shift. I want to make sure people know that. Don't bleep me. I got bleeped once on the radio. I kind of got in my Marine mode. And they're like, oh, the first time in 6 years we had to use the bleep button. I was like, oh, shoot, I'm sorry. Anyway, but hey, you know, this is just amazing to sit back and see that they're still going to go forward with this. And many people are saying, why isn't the, if the president isn't saying it's fair, why isn't he presenting his own attorneys? Because we don't even know who their witnesses are. This has become such a ridiculous scandal on the Democrats' part to manipulate the process, to put Adam Schiff in a special prosecutor role, but yet he is supposed to be running these hearings. Essentially, let it get through the House, and then when we get to the Senate, we'll play by our rules. We'll play by the rules that are actually right for the American people. We actually are going to do it the way it's supposed to be done in the Senate. And guess what? Every last one of them is going to get exposed. And if Adam Schiff is not ready to testify about how he found out about this supposed whistleblower, what his engagement was, when he's not ready to do all that, maybe it's quite possible in the House they won't vote for it to go on over to the Senate, because they'll stir the pot well enough to raise a stink, just like you do with a toilet, but they won't allow it to go all the way through because they know they'll get totally demolished on the Senate side.
Yeah. You know, we had John Decker on. He is of the belief that they're going to vote on impeachment in the House. And you know, my thought is that, just like you just said, that's a big mistake because, you know, we had Roy Blunt on, the senator from Missouri, last week. And he said, you know, if we hold a Senate trial, every United States senator has to sit there quietly like a jury member while this goes on. And if it lasts for 4 weeks, well, that's 4 weeks that at least five senators I can think of won't be on the campaign trail for the Democrats.
Oh, yes. And they're also going to have to sit and listen to every single one of the witnesses come forward. They're going to call Hunter Biden, Joe Biden. They'll end up having, oh, and Lisa Page now is in a rampage on, she's written an article for the Daily Beast, which tells you right away what side she's on if it's in
right.
the Daily Beast.
Right.
You know, right, really? Daily Beast says it all. They are a bunch of beasts that don't need to belong in our U.S. government. And she's upset because the president called her names. Meanwhile, she was undermining the duly elected president. And she is actually, the New York Times story came out, and the headline says that there was no evidence of collusion or the FBI did no wrong, basically. But when you read the article, the FBI, the article actually does admit to the wrongdoing by the FBI players. They just name them fancy names. They don't call them spies. They call them something else. No, the Trump campaign was spied on by the FBI. And we know this for a fact because the NSA director went and told President Trump that they were putting electronic surveillance on his campaign to move out of his headquarters out of Trump Tower. Many people don't know that. The NSA was unlawfully monitoring the campaign. The NSA director found out that the FBI was doing this, and it got pushed back over to the FBI. So that's how this whole FISA warrant happened. They created the phony dossier, took it to the FISA courts, got the FISA courts to either be misled or they were part of the debacle, who knows, and they ended up they were allowed to now electronically surveil members of the Trump campaign. And when you start surveilling one person, you're allowed to go two more to each person that's surveilled, which can lead you now to two more, which can then lead you to two more. Essentially, the entire campaign was under surveillance. Now, can you imagine that your calls are being surveilled when you have no knowledge of that? What country are we in? Venezuela, the old Soviet Union. I mean, this is Stalinistic, and our own FBI did it.
And why the article now? I mean, I wonder, is it because you know the Inspector General report, and maybe more importantly, the Attorney General report is about to come out, the U.S. Attorney?
Right. And I'm kind of like Mark Levin. I'm not sure how the Inspector General report will come out. He's an Obama appointee, but that does not mean he's going to be unfair. I think Horowitz has been known to be a very fair IG. However, we do have the other investigation that's been going on that was appointed by the Attorney General to ensure that we get to the bottom of this entire sham of the Mueller report. Like, how did it even escalate to be a Mueller report in the first place? And anybody who watched that testimony was stunned that we paid this man over $30 million and his team to come up with this. His testimony was stammering. His testimony was incoherent. He was incapable of showing or demonstrating any collusion with Russia. It was an embarrassment. And yet the American taxpayers got fleeced for that. This undermining of the president has gone on so many times since he was duly elected. Nobody believes them anymore.
No, they don't. And it becomes more obvious every single day in the coverage. Jesse Jane, I'm out of time, but as always, I appreciate the energy you bring to this program. Thank you.
Take the hill, motivators. It's going to be a long week.
You bet. At Jesse Jane Duff on Twitter, jessejaneduff.com. Always great to get her thoughts here on the radio show. 314-241-9797. Your calls ahead. Stick around.
Nobody needs NATO more than France. And frankly, the one that benefits really the least is the United States. We benefit the least. We're helping Europe. Europe unites and they go against a common foe. That may or may not be a foe. Can't tell you that. But there are other foes out there also.
Yeah, a NATO, that's the president talking about NATO. He's at that meeting this morning. I guess over in Brussels, I would imagine, is where he is. I don't know where they are exactly. He flew out yesterday to head over there, mm-hmm. right in the middle of the Democrats demanding, offering him to, you know, to show up and testify, just out of the goodness of their hearts. Just for the record, just so you know, if anybody has this debate with you, well, the Democrats gave him a chance to testify. He claimed it wasn't fair because he didn't get to testify. I hope you do understand that when Nadler holds his version of the impeachment inquiry tomorrow, there won't be any fact witnesses there. It's going to be an academic discussion by four egghead academics, three screaming liberals, and one common sense conservative over what constitutes an impeachable offense. That's all they're talking about. But they invited the president to have someone there to be part of that discussion. Well, why would the president want to be part of that discussion? They didn't want him to be part of the discussion or have any impact on witnesses when they were fact witnesses, when they were people claiming based on hearsay and secondhand knowledge that he did something wrong. At that point, they didn't want to hear from any of his fact witnesses. The only way to hear from theirs. And now suddenly, out of the goodness of their heart, they're offering him an opportunity. So later this morning, Adam Schiff will release his impeachment paper summary, I guess it would be, of the 3 days of televised testimony. They'll vote to send it to the judiciary, which is already a done deal on party line. Then it goes over to Jerry Nadler, who continues the circus. We'll see what happens. I'm still not convinced this ever gets to the United States Senate. It just defies logic to me that these people would put five of their 17 presidential candidates on hiatus for an impeachment inquiry that's not going to go anywhere. We have a predetermined outcome. They can't get, even if they lure a couple of weak-kneed rhino Republicans in the Senate to vote for this, Susan Collins, and I don't know how she's going to vote, by the way, but she's, you know, the likely candidate. They can't get two-thirds of a vote. It's just silliness.
I would think those candidates would give some, are getting pushback.
Sure.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, none of them would probably ever say that out loud. I'm sure that would never be released, but there's no way that they're not having meetings where they're like, this isn't a good idea. This is not going to be good for me.
They have
Can we
to.
Please, you know, make this stop?
Well, and I wonder if they're giving pushback, and then the DNC is like, I don't care, you guys aren't going to win anyway.
Could be.
You think they've given up?
I mean, on most of them, right?
Oh, you mean of the five senators? Yeah. I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Sanders continues to do well in the polls, even though Warren has dropped.
Mm-hmm.
But Harris and Booker and Klobuchar are pulling single digits. Mm-hmm. They don't have a shot.
Nope.
Yeah, they're going to... That field's going to have to thin soon anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they see this as their opportunity to try to boost Joe Biden, right? Because clearly Joe is the leader.
And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Because he can get him some more of that
can't
action.
Vote, Joe.
Yeah, wrong crowd to pander right. to, Joe. Doesn't matter how appealing your lap is.
How offensive. I mean, honestly, envision Donald Trump going to a black audience and bragging about the fact that he used to dangle his legs in the pool so the little black kids could come up and rub their hands on his hairy legs. It's awkward every time I listen to it.
And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
If I'm sitting in a pool and some kid tries to come up and touch my leg, you're getting pushed away.
No kidding.
Joe. Joe used to lean down and whisper in her ear, keep it up.
Did we ever figure out what he meant by roaches?
No, and I still am trying to figure out why that was a part of the same speech that...
The corn pop speech.
And why did this just now get...
Well, because I went back and looked at it yesterday. It's available on YouTube. And it's like a 30-minute speech at a pool in Wilmington, Delaware. But it's clearly a city pool in Wilmington, Delaware that's in a very urban setting that it, for as long as even when Joe Biden was young enough to be a lifeguard, was a predominantly African-American pool. I mean, it's a pool... That is in a section of town that
is
clearly
relatable.
He's trying to be relatable to this group somehow. And he had to point out that he wanted to be a lifeguard there when he was the only white lifeguard. And he saw the conditions of this pool, I guess, is where the cockroach comment came from. He talked about getting in a gang fight with Corn Pop because Corn Pop is a...
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
And
Joe Biden must be just like going home going... Hand to the head, what are you doing?
So the corn pop thing was so distracting. He actually told that story in the first 4 or 5 minutes of this 30-minute speech.
Attention.
That got all the attention.
Okay.
Then somebody bothered to listen to the rest of it, and they hear this weird hairy leg story 5 minutes after that. Honestly, it's about 8 or 9 minutes into the tape where he starts talking about his hairy legs. And he puts his arm around the little girl next to him when he's telling the story. It's just creepy to watch.
Mm-hmm. Between that and biting his wife's finger.
I still think that's kind of fun.
It is funny.
It's too easy.
Joe
it's
Biden
like
have
shooting
any speeches
fish in
planned
a pond.
For today? Because I'm excited to see what he has to say.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, very true. I tell you what, I promised I was going to talk about this Evanston story, and I'm gonna run out of time here.
A couple minutes.
City of Evanston is going to use pot revenue to pay reparations for African American residents. Which again, even the term. Is interesting to me because how do you prove African heritage? Because many people have been here for, I don't know, 100, 200 years, as long as my family's been here. I don't know how ultimately they decide, but just so you know, this is what they're reporting last night up in Evanston, Illinois, which, by the way, is where Northwestern University is.
When cannabis becomes legal in a few weeks, the city of Evanston plans to take the expected green revenue and divert 100% of the tax money to a separate fund in the city account for local reparations.
I'm offering no apologies. This is for Black Evanston residents.
That's what they're doing. They're going to take 100% of the pot revenue. I don't know if you're African American, are you offended by that? That they waited till they got some drug money to give you back reparations? I don't know what to think about it.
It just sounds,
sounds icky. But yeah, I honestly don't have a problem with trying to right some wrongs, especially when it comes to the housing market.
Monetary value on that is right. My problem.
Yeah.
Evanston is high priced area. It's like Huntley or Frontenac mm-hmm. or Ladue. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can afford to live there. And I'm not sure that this pot revenue is going to be enough to change that, to be quite honest with you. They're capping it at $10 million. The houses are probably $2 million apiece in Evanston, for God's sake.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.